You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 56. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week we talked to Ben Lamb, the Assistant Director for Student Organizations and Involvement at Williams College. Now, we start off the episode talking about food. It's been a while since we've talked about food, but there's something special about this episode because we talk about Jackie's favorite food, which
crepes.
Is...
crepes. We talk about crepes.
Yes,
crepes. Crepes are really important because I think crepes appeal to everyone. You can have a sweet crepe, or a savory crepe. You can have pretty much anything inside of a crepe, and it's going to be delicious. And the reason why we talk about crepes, not only because I love them, but because Ben actually owns a crepe cafe called O Crepe, which I found out is an hour from my apartment. So I will obviously be frequenting it. So we talk about crepes a lot, but I promise we talk about more than just food.
Yeah, I will say this. Jackie does try to get her name on a crepe by inventing a crepe that doesn't exist. So
it needs to exist. Yeah, it's a great crepe idea.
Yes, the Jackie. In any case, Ben also talks about his time at Williams College because this is a podcast about higher education. He talks about the clubs that he manages, which apparently there are way too many. And he also handles student-run businesses, including the student newspaper. We also talk about sports ball, and I introduce Jackie to the little-known sport spike ball, which is incredibly popular at Belmont. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to rate us on iTunes. That'd be really awesome if you did.
I have to ask if you have a cat, because cats seem to be a theme of our podcast.
I have a dog. She's sitting in front of me. But
I love cats. I have a cat. Logan has multiple cats.
Nice.
And so sometimes my cat likes to be the star of the show, and she will meow loudly sometimes during the show. But
yes,
she may drop the ball on my lap, but that'll be about it.
It's okay. We're very raw and organic. We've had one of our guests was dog sitting while she was recording for us, and I guess this dog was like very, very energetic, and so there's like a time where she's like, hang on, I have to like leave the room and let this dog out, hang on 1 second. It was a pretty nice episode.
It happens.
All natural.
Yep.
I think we've had a couple people that were dog sitting during the episode.
We haven't had
a side hustle
on this show though, surprisingly.
You haven't had a what?
Like, we haven't had anybody's kid interrupt the show. Like, I feel that would happen.
That's because I spent the first 5 minutes locking him in a room upstairs.
Good job.
Do you have kids?
No.
Me either. Just my cat.
Yeah, just the dog.
Just my cat. Real nice. Are you good, Logan?
Yeah, I'm good. Everything's going.
Good. Yay. Well, welcome to the show. Are we recording? Do I start there?
Yeah, we've been recording.
Awesome.
There you go. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you're here. Back from conferencing. I got your out-of-office email.
Probably got a lot of those from me, yeah.
Yes, but it's okay because you were out at a really cool conference. But before we talk about the conference, why don't you introduce yourself however you feel fit?
Oh, boy. Okay. So my name is Ben Lamb. By day, I am the Assistant Director for Student Organizations and Involvement at Williams College. A little product placement there, I see.
for your website location.
I held up my cheap convenience store canned pineapple, mandarin, orange alcohol spritz.
Oh, that's good.
It's one of those days.
Yep.
Anyway, back to what Ben does.
Yeah, yes. So I'm the Assistant Director for Student Organizations and Involvement at Williams College. And that's basically a cover-all position where I'm covering all of our student organizations, leadership development, programming. We also have several student businesses that I get to boss around on the side, which is interesting.
What kind of businesses?
Then by night... my partner Emily and I actually own a crepe cafe here in the city of North Adams. So it's O Crepe. So there's my product placement for the day. And so we do
Jackie's
that.
Jackie's freaking out a little bit.
That's so exciting. I'm
trying not to let it, you know, get
sorry,
me off.
I'm okay, done. Here. I'm done.
So yeah, we opened that just about a year ago. We're about to hit our 1 year anniversary.
That's happy anniversary, early anniversary. Yeah. I'm really excited because I love crepes so much.
Well, you should come visit.
It's only love to. Tell me what kind of crepes do you have? Like, and now I'm going to offer some opinions on a menu because there's a crepe place that I go to all the time. And I'm like, oh man, if this was on the menu, it'd be so good. What is the best crepe that you've made?
The best crepe, well, probably the top selling one. So we do savory and we do sweet. So we cover all bases. But the most popular savory one is called the Mountaineer. And it's really breakfast in a crepe. So it's bacon, eggs, spinach, cheese. And as much as we possibly can, we use local ingredients from the area. So it's kind of like a localvore attempt in a small little venue. And then in terms of our sweet ones, the Berkshire Berries is our top seller. So that's blueberries, strawberries, honey, and then skyr, which is like yogurt, but not. It's kind of like Greek yogurt, but a lot more protein and a little bit different texture. It's made by a place over in Pownal, Vermont. It's kind of a local thing, which is really interesting. So those are probably our two top ones.
Do you have anything involving Nutella? I feel like that's
okay,
good. Nutella. I just wanted to check because that's really important to me. Yes. Nutella is really, really important to me.
You buy the case. Yeah.
As is crunchy peanut butter. I love crunchy peanut butter.
I am a crunchy peanut butter person.
And I have not, I feel like a Reese's cup crepe would do really well. So I have yet to have one anywhere, but I like dark chocolate and crunchy peanut butter because those are my favorite types of chocolate and peanut butter. You can call it the Jackie. I'll give you rights. It's cool. You know,
copyright that one.
Yeah. No, it's cool. You can have it. But just like when you serve it, just be like, hey, check out the Higher Ed Social podcast.
If you go on our Facebook page, we actually do a Crepe of the Month competition every month.
No way. What is the name of your Facebook or where can we find you on Facebook? We'll add it in the show notes.
I think it's just facebook.com/OCrepeCafe.
O-H crepe?
Yep. O-H.
So not like Irish, not oh crepe.
No, there are some out there that are like oh crepe. Yeah.
That's cute. Yes, that you were correct on what it was. Ooh, you were making tiny cakes.
Yeah, that's one of our new things.
Oh my god, this is so fun.
We have a music series that we do twice a month. It's the tiniest stage in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a fun.
Oh my god, I will definitely have to swing by. We're like super close. You're closed though. I'm a little upset.
Well, right now we are.
I can't come right now. I'm liking. This is so cool. So what? Like, so was this like a in the making kind of thing? Was it like a spontaneous decision? Like, talk me through the process of how you started to own a crepe cafe.
So I've always been one of those people that I'm an idea jockey. So I'm always coming up with crazy, cockeyed ideas that you know don't really make any sense, but I still want to do them. And this was the first time that I came up with an idea and I could actually convince my partner to agree with me on. We were actually sitting in Martha's Vineyard because that's where her family's from. And there was a little crepe shop there. And we're sitting there eating in it. And we're like, wow, this could totally work in North Adams. And so that began the epic that has become Oh Crepe. But it was interesting how quickly it kind of evolved from being an idea to actually coming to fruition. It was only about 8 months between the idea first popping into our head, and then before you knew it, you were opening our doors. So,
you mean college students like crepe cafes?
Go figure, right?
I know, that's
right?
Surprising.
Do you have to serve coffee now and the Wi-Fi?
We do. Yep, we do have free Wi-Fi. That was kind of a necessity.
Oh, you need that.
Yeah.
Do you kick them out after a certain amount of time when they don't order something?
We haven't done that. We actually, this is like just a design feature, but our high top counters are only 11 inches deep. And that was intentional so that you can't really fit a computer there comfortably for a long period of time. But it works for, you know, a little while.
Yeah.
It's big enough to fit a plate. So we do have some people that camp out for the day because we have outdoor seating, especially when the weather's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't get many people that hang around that long. The space is only 500 square feet.
That's so small. It's really
tiny.
Yeah, so you're not trying to get people to hang out all day.
And when we opened, we were really thinking that it would be a place where people came in and they took it to go. And we just found that more people like the ambiance of the space, so they're actually staying. So,
are you saying that people like being cramped into small spaces together?
Yeah, yeah. People like being sardines. It's a strange anomaly.
There's a my favorite coffee shop in Portland, Oregon is called Spella Cafe, and they're very tiny. They have like three or four like bar stool seats, and that's it.
Nice.
It's like squeezed in between two buildings. The store itself is like twice as wide as the door. So it's, oh, wow. It's pretty amazing.
We're actually housed inside of an antique shop.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
It's kind of like Barnes & Noble being in a Starbucks, but we're way cooler than them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, obviously.
I'm looking at your website right now. I also did a little Google Maps search, and I'm only an hour and 5 minutes from
the
place.
You.
So
right around the
corner. I will definitely have to spend a weekend heading out.
It is a great day trip.
You guys over in Mass. Totally. Oh my God, that is so cool and so exciting. Well, congratulations on your, what are you going to do? Do you have like a party, like an anniversary themed crepe coming?
We were just talking about that today, actually, because we hadn't realized that a year was coming up this quickly. Kind of blown by. So yeah, we got to figure out if we're going to do like a birthday cake crepe or something of that type.
That would be cute. That would be really cute.
Yeah.
I think you should put candles in everybody's crepes that come in that day.
Maybe. That's
that would be real fun.
Yeah. Put that on my calendar.
Yeah. Well, good. That's so exciting. That is
really cool. What day is your store's birthday?
April 30th is our 1 year anniversary.
That's not too far away. That's a good day.
Yeah.
That's really close, actually.
Yeah. Right around the
corner. That's so exciting. Oh, my God. So, well, we will definitely link to your Facebook page and website in the show.
Awesome.
So, for anyone in the Massachusetts area. I mean, I don't know where else there is to do in Massachusetts, to be honest. This is
The largest.
Except that whole thing called Boston, that's a thing.
But they're
that's
not close.
I mean,
to
I
Boston.
Hear they're in Massachusetts, and you know, Massachusetts is only like 50 miles wide, so
it's 3 hours from here to Boston.
Yeah, but it's not like the same thing. Like
you live in a completely different state. You live in a different state. Like 3 hours away here, you're in the same state.
Oh, really?
Yes, 3 hours up there, except for maybe New York. 3 hours up there.
Like I could drive 3 hours west from Albany and still be in New York. So
true. Yeah.
That's
because it's long and tall.
It looks like a T-bone steak.
Right.
It does.
But you can't compare it to like Texas or
no
California.
It's no Texas.
No.
Or even Tennessee. I mean, New York's bigger than Tennessee, but Tennessee dwarfs like Vermont and Massachusetts and Rhode Island and all put together, it dwarfs them.
It took me like 8 hours to drive corner to corner in Tennessee one time.
Yeah, so it takes a lot. It's 4 hours. We live in the middle, and it's 4 hours either way to the border because it's a parallelogram.
Hey, look at that.
How fun for you.
Yeah, geometry.
How fun for you. That's so neat. Ah, maybe we will stop out because I love crepes. There is a crepe place here in Albany that I go to called the French Press, which is exciting.
Yeah. Ours is called the Perch.
Rotate their menu.
The Perch?
Yeah, they started out with one, and then they've grown to like three or four now.
Oh, franchised out.
Interesting name.
No, they haven't franchised it. I think they actually still own, like, they're all owned by the people who own it.
Wow.
They started out a little bitty shop in Franklin, and now it's like downtown Nashville and a couple of other places. I kind of wish they put one next to campus, but instead they put up a proper bagel, which is a place I have to take you at some point, Jackie, if you ever come back.
I'll run to Nashville real quick.
Yeah, no big deal.
From New York. It's real
close. They're a little pricey, but I mean, their hot chocolate is like 12 ounces, but it's like melted Hershey Kisses. So it's pretty amazing.
I'm actually moving my sister to Nashville in June.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. A road tripping down.
Call up Logan.
Right?
It's an awesome city.
So
it's a cool city. It's got a lot of hills.
Really?
Yeah, very hilly.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, it's hilly because Jackie ran a half marathon.
I did.
Gross. That's why she's hating on the hills.
It's a love hate. I run because of beer and free stuff and the medals at the end. That's
the beer wasn't really worth it.
The beer was awful. I got a Keystone.
It was Michelob. It was Michelob Light. It was Michelob
Light. Ultra.
That's
at the end of my half marathon. Like the worst beer to get me. But it was terrible.
Ugh.
But when we were running down it, we had fair warning because as we all the Michelob like blow up like advertisements and everything as we were driving down, I was like, and then one big arch that said, "Waiting for you at the end," and I was like, "Jackie, I think it's time to quit."
Yeah,
not worth it. Yeah.
Yep. But it is a cool city, so you'll have to connect with Logan.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep.
So you said you oversee student businesses as well as student orgs. What kind of businesses?
So actually a coffee bar, oddly enough. So kind of cut my teeth with that.
I was say awkward competition.
Yeah, right. yeah, so we have a student-managed coffee bar operation that's incredibly busy. And then we've got a full-service motor coach operation that I have a manager on as well. And our yearbook and our newspaper both have to be fully self-sustaining based on subscriptions or book sales. So they're also these little business ventures that are kind of operating under my guise. So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's really interesting that it's that the newspaper is considered a business.
Yeah.
So that just means like they're not funded by the college at all. Like, wow. Interesting. So
they receive a subscription fee by every student, but it's like $2. It's not.
Yeah. It's not going to cover everything.
Otherwise they have to sell advertising space and subscriptions to outside entities.
Right. Huh. That is curious. That's the first time I've ever heard of that. I mean, I've heard of schools, papers selling ad space, but I've never heard of it like pulled out from student activities.
Yeah. Right.
That's really interesting.
No, it's a good learning opportunity for them because if it fumbles, well, it's not like they can just ask for more money from the college. You kind of have to.
Right. They have to actually figure it out. It.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Ours switched to completely online. So they would not have to do the businessy model sponsor thing. And they're run by our media studies department. So they're actually, it's actually part of class kind of thing.
Mm.
So that's neat. Though they take students from all walks of life on campus, not just journalism students, but.
Oh, okay. So anyone can participate.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Oh, really cool. Yeah. So how long have you been there?
I'm hitting 5 years right now, which is kind of crazy.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I got a letter that my anniversary is coming up, so I got to pick what gift I wanted. So,
ooh, what were your options and what did you pick?
I think there was like an umbrella and there was a piece of pottery and like a bag. And I don't actually remember what I picked, but I think I picked the pottery.
I would pick the pottery too.
Yeah.
And an umbrella, like, I feel like you would use an umbrella, but meh.
Nah, I always forget to bring an umbrella. Like, that's a good point. I have like 8 of them and I don't even.
Mine all live in my car. I have like 6 umbrellas in my car, which helps sometimes, but not all the time.
Only if you're walking from your car. If you're walking to your car, too bad.
Yeah.
I'm always one though to like overreact if there's like any hint of rain. I'm wearing a rain jacket with a hood because my hair and water do not get along. And then I would say, Ben, you probably are the same way.
Yeah.
But we do not get along. So I take a lot of precautions about protecting my hair when it is potentially raining.
If I had hair, I would worry about it.
It's not fun. It's hard. It's a rough life.
It really is.
Haired folks.
I only spend about 15 seconds outside between like my office building, the building in which my office is in, and the building next to it, which has a parking garage, which is where my car is. So it's usually not too horrible. Though Marin's a different story. She has to walk across campus in the rain. So
we have a parking lot. My office is pretty much located in our student union. So there's a parking lot right outside the union, but I would still be like not having the walk is still a walk. Like I said,
it's still going to get wet.
Yeah, we don't really have surface lots anymore. I mean, what surface lots we have are all visitor parking. So students, faculty, staff, commuters, all that, we all park in parking garages under the buildings. So
interesting.
Yeah.
It's efficient use of the grounds, I guess.
Yeah.
Double up like that.
Yeah, it actually quadrupled to, like for instance, there was a parking lot under our, there was a parking lot where our like health sciences building currently is back in the day, and now the parking garage like multiplies it by like 4 times because it's 4 times the size of that because it's 4 levels.
Right.
So we have like 2,000 or 3,000 underground parking spots. So it's kind
of a lot of your students though like commuting in for class.
About half of them.
Okay.
Belmont requires students to live on campus for the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, and they don't all, because of spacing and stuff, but, a good, 2 or 3,000. I think we have 3,000 now beds. So
that's cool.
Most of the undergraduate, half the undergraduate. Graduate, of course, is they don't live on campus.
Yeah.
But undergrad does. So
do you have a lot of, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask Ben about your housing situation. Do you have a lot of on-campus people? Like, are you, you're not in a city, right? You're like in a suburb area?
No, we're in the rural, hill people. Yeah, we're up here in the Berkshire. So we have like 2,100 students and I think 2,000 of them live on campus. So we're like 90%+ residential.
Nice.
And the rest of them live within walking distance of campus, so it's not like they drive in.
Yeah, we're lucky we have a city that has a good number of apartments near campus, so that's where most students live. So it's getting a little more expensive because, you know, it's city and everything.
Right. So, and you don't control those prices at the college.
Nope.
The community does, yeah.
Yep. That's right. And it's getting more and more expensive, though, you know. It just depends. There are different places that you can go that are a little cheaper, but it's a little farther drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you're also like in the city of Nashville.
That's right. We're urban.
So like,
there's a difference.
There's a big difference that you're right there. That's neat. Yeah. So are you like, when you say you oversee them, do those clubs have advisors as well? Or do you kind of serve as the ultimate advisor?
That is the ultimate question. When I first started, there weren't really any other advisors, and that was kind of a challenge. So I've been pushing in the last few years to start having the organizations recruit more people, and any new organization has to have an outside advisor besides myself. So right now, out of the 140-odd groups that I am technically the overseer on, there's probably 80 of them have a secondary advisor.
Okay.
But I'm kind of like when you say the buck stops with Ben, that's kind of in terms of all that stuff, it all lands in my lap. If something goes wrong, it ends up with me and then I coordinate, kind of stuff. So
you have to fix everything.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge? I mean, that's a lot of student orgs for a school your size.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, we had 200+, but we started working on getting rid of redundancy, and if an organization didn't re-register every year, they kind of went defunct, and that filtered a lot of the less operating ones out.
Right.
The biggest challenge really is being able to commit the time necessary to get these students trained and the different things they need to be trained in.
Right.
If I had another day a week, there's so much, and if the students had another day a week, because they're obviously busy as well, there is so much more information that I would like to actually train with them in person, but a lot of it just ends up being emails that they don't read.
Mm-hmm.
So there's these big knowledge gaps that occur with some of the leadership, especially when their leadership changes over and I don't know who's in the position and I don't know who I should be talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the biggest challenge of having that many organizations and not enough time to just kind of emphasize those things that they really should be doing and do some actually meaningful leadership development. Besides just the basics of how do you book a room, those kinds of things. So,
do you have mandatory, like, are there workshops or things that they're attending? What do you offer?
We're able to carve out about 2 hours total of mandatory training. And so we go over, anti-hazing regulation and how to coordinate an event and what resources are there for you and really emphasize the expectation that they have read and understand all the college policies and that the excuse of I didn't know is not an actual excuse.
Right.
It's kind of we try to make it as much like real life is going to be as we possibly can. And creating some accountability structures, which I think is one of the challenges that we run into across the board with student organizations at colleges, is how do you develop accountability that's similar to what they're going to experience once they graduate?
Right.
Because we try to support them as much as we can, but sometimes that kind of creates this interesting shell of, enabling.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're constantly working on how do we frame this in an educational way and not so much just a fun activity thing.
Yeah. We have mandatory like student workshops that take place the week before class starts.
Oh, wow.
We call it week one. And students go through leadership development training during that time. So,
how many students?
That's a good question.
Yeah, is it just like presidents, or is it?
It's leaders within it's leaders within the student orgs, and there's also the president's council and some various other things too that kind of help them through. Actually, we've changed it. Now it's Lead Week. Okay, so it's not week one. It's
oh, I thought Lead Week. Work One was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's now it's Learn, Empower, Advance, Develop.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean, it's an acronym, so you have to go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Week doesn't stand for anything.
No.
So the students that come to Lead Week are residence assistants, orientation leaders, the Orientation Council, Student Government Association, Executive Cabinet, the Student Activities Programming Board, Executive Cabinet, the Infrafraternal Council, the Panhellenic Council, Greek Chapter Leaders, University Ministry Student Leaders. Those are required students that have to come.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask Ben where Greek life fell, if that was under your jurisdiction.
We don't have Greek life.
No Greek life. Interesting.
Nope, the students actually self-organized and banned all Greek operations back in the early 70s, I believe it was.
That's interesting.
One of the first colleges in New England to do that, yeah.
I wonder what the reasonings were.
I don't actually know all of the reasons around that, but a lot of it had to do with the exclusivity. Mm. We're an interesting community where there's so few students that, you know, even when we just look at our party structure, no student wants to turn another student away from their party. So you don't have these cliques of, like, the popular students and the less popular students. Like, they all mesh when it comes to their social existence. And they are really dedicated to maintaining that. And I think that might have been part of it. When that came around. But we also, when we became co-ed, which I believe was in the 60s, I think that played a big part in it as well, because the fraternities were really the only, there weren't any sororities to speak of.
Right.
So, you know, you had these fraternal orders, but there wasn't that same kind of structure for, the incoming female student body at that point. So I'm sure there was other factors that played into it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I don't know if it was like a story that was passed down from generations or if it just kind of was a thing. But that's really interesting to not have Greek life. We don't have Greek life at Skidmore either. In my first couple days at Skidmore when I started, my boss said, "Hey, why don't you take some time and go sit in on like a parent student info session and take a campus tour? Because, you know, how else are you going to learn like about Skidmore quickly than, you know, just going on a tour?" I'm like, wow, that's a good idea. Sure. And it was interesting to listen because at my alma mater, we did have Greek life, and you know, it was the way I felt it like in my 4 years is that like, if you were in it, okay, cool. But if you weren't, it wasn't like you were missing out all that much. Like I still had my social life and I was not a part of Greek life. And so to listen to the students at Skidmore talk about their opinions on Greek life, they were like, "I would never go to a school with Greek life. I can't believe like other people are involved with Greek life." I'm like, wow, that's just so interesting seeing your opinion shaped by a school without it versus like my opinion based on a school that had it. So it is interesting to listen to students and their opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, about a quarter, I'd say close to a quarter of our campus is Greek.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's actually a really high percentage.
Yeah.
But we only have four sororities, maybe five. And two fraternities. So,
oh wow,
get so a lot really more than
big
that.
Organization.
Yeah, they must be large chapters.
They had are. A lot they are pretty that. Big. Yeah.
Mm. Do they have like, off-campus houses?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Oh. Quote so. Like, air quotes. They don't, or like they actually don't.
They actually don't.
Interesting. Oh. My school, they quote didn't have a house. Yeah.
Well,
recognized by the institution.
Fraternities and sororities are charter orgs at Belmont, so they get university funding. So they have to meet on campus, or at least Panhellenic and Infrafraternal councils.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have any local sororities or fraternities, like just Belmont? Like they're not national.
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That is so weird.
I mean, Greek life is so different. We have organizations with Greek lettering, but they're not. They're student orgs. They're like
honor societies.
Honor societies. We also have a music society, a pharmacy has one too, and mm-hmm. nursing has one. There's several.
They all do. Mm-hmm.
That's
a lot different. Than like the social Greeks. Social Greeks and honor Greeks are very different. I was in an honor Greek in college for communications, the Communications Honor Society. And we were kind of like between, because a lot of them are like, oh, it's just an honor. Like, it's just, you get the pin and you put it on your resume and that's it. And you like show up to a meeting maybe. But others were really active honor societies, which I thought was really cool. And in my time at school, like our honor society was kind of going through this transition of like, maybe we should get more involved on the campus. So that was really cool to be a part of that and watch the thing grow. Do you have that though? Like at, like the honor Greeks at all? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, I want to say there's three. I know there's one in business. And then I think there's like the first year honor and the junior honor, like they're not specific to a degree. I think Alpha Chi might be one. And then there's like Alpha Lambda Delta, which I think are fairly standard and across universities. It's not like it's, you know, special to have those, but it's great to be in it, I guess, because it's a large community. Yeah.
Well, it's something to belong to. And
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, for students, it's a good thing to have something to belong to.
Do you have, is athletics big?
Yes.
That tends to be like the group.
I think, I don't know if I know this number for sure, but I think it's 600 students are involved in varsity athletics out of a community of 2,000.
Wow.
So that's impressive.
And then in total, there's over 1,200 students involved in some form of athletics once you loop in our club sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What division are you guys?
Div 3. Okay. I think there is one sport that I believe I think it might be golf, where an upper division, and maybe squash, because we have, I think it's a fact that we have more squash courts per capita than any other institution.
I have no idea what squash is. So
that's like, what?
Is that like racquetball?
First, I was going to say that's like a tour guide thing.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, like we have the most squash courts per capita.
I heard it on the tour.
Yeah. Is that where you learned it?
Yeah.
It's like a tour guide factoid.
Absolutely.
And Logan, seriously? You haven't heard of squash?
It's
like racquetball.
It's similar to racquetball, yeah.
Okay.
Little ball flying fast, hitting things. Yeah.
Yep.
We have spike ball. But it's where you have a trampoline and then a ball and you spike it. And then it's kind of like hacky sack, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, I'm trying to picture this.
You have a bunch of people standing in a circle around a trampoline and you like spike a ball into the trampoline and the next person has to knock it down and spike it. Kind of like that, I guess.
Okay. Now I understand the hacky sack analogy.
Yeah.
Because I went to like hitting it with your foot and I got really confused. Then I thought you were like on the trampoline.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, it's just another sports ball.
Yeah.
It's just
another sports ball. Is it a real sport or is it kind of like a cutesy Belmont?
Can jam.
I did not know it existed until a couple years ago. And then we started offering it as a intramural, I think. It's a thing. People run around a trampoline and spike a ball into it. So
that sounds really fun, actually.
Yeah, I could see
that. Like a solid workout.
You should Google it at some point.
I went indoor trampolining the other day. That was a lot.
There's a gym in Albany, isn't
it? It's called Sky Zone, right near my apartment, right near.
We have one too, apparently, because I saw a Sky Zone. And that's the indoor trampoline place.
And like a serious, serious workout. And actually they offer fitness classes and I'm excited. I want to try one. It's like $10 for an hour class. Why not? Like that's so cheap. That's like the cheapest workout class I've ever seen. So
I do have to say, since we were talking about sports before we get off sports ball, Belmont's women's team made it to the NCAA tournament.
Congratulations.
By beating the other team by 32 points in the championship game.
Wow.
Yeah, we completely destroyed them.
Nice.
I love our coach. I actually did a video with him the other day regarding this because today is Selection Sunday. For those of you who are listening later this week, tomorrow's Selection Monday. So that's going to be a big fun thing. I'm really excited about that. So we'll see where we go. I think the men are going to be playing in the NIT. So we'll find out. We probably found out today like where we're going. The NIT is the not NCAA tournament.
Is it like the toilet bowl?
No. The NIT is actually where the really good teams that didn't make it into the NCAA tournament because they didn't win their tournament go and play.
They're like the losers. Sorry, I hate to be so harsh.
Except there are really like good
ESPN
teams.
ESPN 8, the Ocho. Yeah.
Except there
are they're not like ultimate losers. Like, it's not like they had a losing
season. No, they're good.
No, they're really good. They just didn't
get into the tournament.
Right.
So they have a separate loser tournament.
And sometimes people get into tournaments and it's a fluke. It just happened to be that they somehow
won the tournament. You can
just
actually
what's
your
happening
conference.
To the Buffalo Bills. We just keep happen to not getting into the
exactly
the Super
like
Bowl.
Our Buffalo
team.
Bills all the way.
Our men's team won the conference, so we're the conference champions, but we didn't win the tournament, so we're not going to the NCAA tournament.
Right,
gotcha. Kind of the, okay,
that
we
happened
had the best
Skidmore.
Record.
Skidmore won their division or their league.
But the women are going to the NCAA tournament, and it should be in like Lexington or Louisville. We'll find out.
Do you get to go travel with the team?
Not for this one. Our office communications will probably go and write a story about it, I'm going to guess. But maybe the next game, if they win, we'll see where it goes.
Nice.
Exciting.
We'll see how it goes. But we're going to have a big watch party, so I'll be running social from there. So
that's really fun. Oh, what do you do for your watch party?
I'll have to post a picture of it, but we have like three really huge screens, and we invite the entire campus to it. And then there's lights and music and sometimes free pizza. Like, it's a really big deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge
pretty
show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's super exciting.
I know about this much about sports.
Yeah, me
people
too.
People ask me about sports. I say sports is things.
Sports ball. Go sports.
Yep. Go sports.
Go team.
I get really excited with basketball if Belmont wins. But beyond that, I mean, I typically don't care about football or anything like that.
I really enjoy live hockey. That's one
Hockey's
thing.
It's fun to watch live.
Yeah, but like I can't do the watching on TV thing, and other sports I just get lost.
What is your hockey team?
So we had a local one.
Oh.
Year, I think.
So that was your like go-to team.
Yeah, and I was like, that was really my, and I like the Penguins. I saw them back. I actually lived in DC for outside DC for a little while, so I saw them a couple times down there, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really picky. I just enjoy watching the sport. It's just kind of
fun.
Yeah, we have a team. They're pretty good.
They play hockey in the South?
Yeah, they're called the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
I'm
actually Albany area has a couple really good teams, like Troy RPI has a wicked one, and Union has a really good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if I think we have hockey.
You might.
We do.
Okay. Yeah. You would know better than me. Yeah.
See, I'm still in like the 1 year like, I feel like when you work in higher ed, your first year is, like, all about learning. Because it's, like, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about, like, Logan, you talked about, I forgot what they renamed it to.
Lead Week?
Yeah, that thing. Like, I'm like, does Skidmore offer that? I don't know. Like, it's just, like, I'm not part of the, I haven't gotten through the whole cycle yet. So I have to wait to get through.
It takes a full year to know the place that you work.
Seriously.
And I'm still learning stuff. Like, stuff pops up out of nowhere on me. And I find out about it on Facebook or Twitter.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
I'm no longer the new guy, so it's like it's expected that I know things after 5 years. But I still am learning. Like,
yep. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know where that building was or, you know, yeah. So it's interesting.
Definitely. Luckily, I was only the new person in my department for like 3 weeks because we hired a new director like immediately after I started. Nice. So it was kind of cool. I'm like, I'm not the new kid anymore. Ha ha.
Begin the hazing.
Yeah. Like I'm done. Even though within that time I did have the opportunity to dress as the mascot before he started. So I was like, well, my hazing's done. Like I'm good. Even though I shouldn't joke about hazing, but
no, joking matter. No.
Hazing's not joking. Nope. I consented to dressing as the mascot. But it was pretty funny that I got the chance to do that. But it's been fun so far. But yeah,
regularly dresses in costumes for different events and whatnot. So
see, people that work in student affairs, I always joke, you guys just have degrees in bounce house babysitting. That's really what it is.
I actually have a kangaroo guy. Like
you have a guy?
A guy that I can contact if I want to bring a kangaroo to campus. Like
can
I don't know
you
any
also
other
contact him to just like have the kangaroo around. Like and can you coordinate it with the day that I come out to get crepes?
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
so that I can eat a kangaroo and eat a delicious crepe in the
same
day.
Why would you eat a kangaroo?
Did I say eat a kangaroo? I said meet a kangaroo, but I don't want to eat the kangaroo.
Eat kangaroo.
I know our zoo. Our zoo has a meet the kangaroos kind of section where you can like walk out and pet kangaroos.
Mm-hmm.
though really, they don't really like it that much when you walk up close to them.
Skittish, yeah,
a little bit, but yeah, they sure like laying in the sun.
I'll say the best zoo event that I ever went to as an adult, because obviously a zoo as a child versus zoos as an adult are very different experiences. Mm. But as an adult, I went to a thing called the Zoo Brew, where you went to the zoo after the zoo had closed, and they serve alcohol and have live bands, and you basically get drunk with animals in the zoo.
That's not dangerous at all.
Actually, no one died, and it was really fun. They do it in the summer and in the winter, but in the winter they call it Zoo Brew with like multiple R's because it's cold outside.
I see what you did there.
So funny. That was in Rochester, though. So I no longer live there. But Zoo Brew is very, very cool. But with the thought of drunk animals, I think we are out of time for the show today. Logan was giving me a look. I just sensed it. Are we out of time?
The countdown, yeah.
Are we out of time? Did I say
that? Yeah, we're out of time.
We're out of time. Well, thank you, Ben. We appreciate it so much.
Thanks for having me.
Show. This was so great. I will definitely come out to get crepes. Listeners, thank you for listening. If you want to be on the show like Ben and not have us stalk you on Twitter like Ben, please tweet us. We want you on the show because we want to meet you and learn about if you own a crepe cafe or not. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, and please leave us a review. We really, really like reviews. We want to know what you think of the show.
It also helps us get more listeners. So
yeah,
more reviews.
Spread the word.
We want reviews. Thanks, guys.